51.
Morning. I want to greet you with the words of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I say a hearty welcome to each one that has come this morning. Those who have tuned in and live streamed, thank you for doing that. And our prayer is that we can all together serve in a unified spirit, drawing closer to Almighty God in these days that we are in. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father in heaven, we are so thankful that we can call you our Father. We know as children, we have a loving Father, always desire to have that fellowship in. Always desire to follow the footsteps of their father and mother. Lord, this morning we approach the throne room of grace with thanksgiving in our hearts that you have given us this blessed day to fellowship together, spirit of unity, peace and joy, in a hope that reaches beyond what we can see. Father, we pray for your presence this morning. Pray, Lord, your blessing upon the service. Lord, especially pray for those who have tuned in live stream, as there are many, Father, that take part in the service this morning. May your spirit reach them where they are, where they find themselves this morning. May it be at home or possibly somewhere on their phone watching the service. Lord, that they may sense your presence in a special way. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to again share your word. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to us what you need for us to hear. Pray, Lord, for those who are heavy this morning, those who are lonely, those who are weak, those who are in the hospitals, possibly feeling that they've been forgotten. May your spirit touch them in a special way and to help them to know that you are the one who calmed the troubled waters and said, peace be still. Father, we thank you for your presence and your leading. In Jesus' name, amen. As we gather this morning, just a couple of Sundays ago, spoke on the verse of John 3:16. And when we think about that verse, there is so much that is in there. And we talked about the Father's love, which is important to understand that the love of our Heavenly Father has for us. And then we think about believe. It says those who believe. And so we see it as a beautiful characteristic of faith that we need to walk in. And then it is what he gave and why he gave it. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so we see these four very important points in this one verse that we can open up and allow us to be taught the value of it. And we might say this morning the key to unlock the true meaning of what this verse really means is faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible for to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it always comes back to faith. Do we believe? If we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. It says God at various times and in different places spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament, spoke unto the fathers by the prophets in the Old Testament. And so we see here that God revealed himself in the Old Testament, and then it changes in verse 2 to the New Testament. And it says, and it hath in the last days spoken unto us. Well, we might say that we are in the last days because we are in the New Testament times, in the times of the Gentiles. And we know that the book of Hebrews was written to a group of first century Christians who were in danger of giving up. They had received the message of salvation. They had received the message of truth, and therefore they began to walk in that. And then they found themselves being put to the test. Their faith really being put to the test in regards to what they believed in. Now, I want to encourage us this morning to think about that a little bit. We are in times where our faith is being put to the test. We have some decisions to make. We have some choices to make in life. They found themselves, these new converts found themselves physically abused. They found themselves, their houses were destroyed and being cast into prison. And while some of those accepted that with joy because they had a deep understanding of what it means to follow Christ, but there were some of these believers that the book of Hebrews addresses that found themselves turning kind of back to where they had come from, to all their religious activities and their former religion and practices that they were doing, that they had been doing. And in addressing of this issue, the author of Hebrews certainly had a difficult task. And when we think about that a little bit, it certainly was a difficult task for him, because for all those years and all those centuries, they had one way of doing things. And now he's bringing them to a new level in their journey of faith, and he's finding them to kind of turn back because of the pressure that's on. And it is important for us to think about that a little bit. It says that God has created all things through Jesus Christ, as we read in Scripture, by whom all things are made, is what Scripture teaches us. We know that Christ was with the Father before the world was created. And so he was part of the creation. It says in the beginning, God created. And it is interesting how many people understand what this says, in the beginning God created. But the question remains, do they actually believe it? Do they believe it, that God would create the world and God would place them in a world and God would sustain them even in difficult times? But it is interesting how we are sometimes. The flesh records when the pressure's on, and we feel that we don't want to move forward. I want to say this. The things that we believe in must be worthy of our faith. The things that we believe in must be worthy of our faith. Let's think about that a little bit. I don't know if you are like I am. I believe we are all the same in that. But sometimes we make our choices or our decisions based on the circumstances that are around us. And that's fine. But when it comes to eternal life. We can't do that. Then we need to look in faith to Jesus Christ, because it is a journey of faith. It is a journey of faith that we are all on. And I sometimes think about Abraham. It says in Genesis 12 that the Lord spoke to Abraham. And he says, get thee out of the country, away from your family, away from your home, and go out. And he did. The reason Abraham's name is in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, is because he was solid. He didn't waver. He simply went. And God made a promise to him. God said, I will make you a blessing, and you, all the nations of the world will be blessed because of you. And he did that, not knowing where he would go. And that is the journey that we're on. And I want to say to you, Ronnie and Heather, you're just getting your feet wet. You're getting into the water, if you will. It's a journey of faith. Let's never expect that it's always going to be easy. But it's going to be a blessing. God's going to bless us if we're going to follow faithfully. And so it is for each one of us. Faith is a decision that I have to make in my heart. It doesn't come naturally. I have to choose to live in faith and walk by faith. And faith is the door that opens up so that we, through grace, might be saved. And it is important for us to think about that, because as we read before in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for grace are ye saved through faith, and not that of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And that is important for us to understand when we think about what Peter was saying. He says in chapter 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, where it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. In writing to the group of Jewish believers, Peter encourages them to conduct themselves courageously in the face of persecution, in the face of hard times that they are going to face for the sake of Christ. Having been born again and having received that new hope that is not seen. Jesus says, blessed are they that believe and have not seen. That's where the blessing lies in. We know that the world puts its hope in the things that they can see. And we know that everything that we see with our eyes will someday vanish, will someday decay, deteriorate, have no value. But the things that we don't see have the reward of eternal life. Peter reminds those Christians that their future is in the unseen, which is incorruptible, undefiled. And it says, it is reserved in heaven for us. And I trust that there is a place reserved in heaven for each one of us. It is truly a blessing to walk that journey of faith, knowing that true life only begins when we exit this temporal body. But it says, whosoever believeth in him, as we read in John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him. Friends, faith brings good works, but they don't save us. Faith brings good works, but they don't save us. But good works are a fruit of our faith in Jesus Christ. Good works are a mark in the Christian's life that he is in fellowship with God and in good terms, if you will, with fellow men. So I want to encourage us with that short devotional this morning that we walk by faith. Let's not base our walk by the things that we see. Let's not make our decisions in life by the circumstances that are around us when it comes to thinking eternally, but much rather keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set at the right hand of the throne of God. And it is my prayer that we would someday all together join there in praising Almighty God. At this time, we're going to move on with the questions and answers in the catechism. And again, we're going to begin on page 55, chapter 3. Faith in Christ. And I would ask you to stand, and if all of a sudden you get tired and feel weak, you're welcome to sit down. And let us begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father in heaven, you look down upon these young people who have come forward, who have made a choice to walk by faith, to follow even when they can't see. And Lord, as your word shines its light on our path, we pray that you will give them boldness. You give them, help them to have courage to walk forward, onward, upward, heavenward. Lord, we pray for your presence again, and you would strengthen us in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, again, going to just move through them. Then we'll start with chapter 3, faith in Christ. What is the true way to salvation?
Faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior, in his shed blood.
Do we earn salvation by faith?
No, but faith embraces the finished work of Christ, whereby we obtain salvation and eternal life.
What is true faith?
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the events of things not seen.
What does true faith imply?
Real repentance and change of mind, that we become convinced of our sinfulness and repent thereof.
What change is brought upon in a believer's heart?
He is converted from the error of his way unto Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our soul.
Yes. Because he is converted from the error of his way. We know that when someone comes to Jesus Christ, he has two natures. He has the old nature, that is, which we've been born with, and then he has a new nature. And so we find that those two natures, they clash, if you will. And sometimes many times we have a battle on our hands because the two natures don't agree. One is of this world, and the other one is from above. Regeneration and good works. What is the change of heart called in the New Testament?
It is called regeneration, a new creation.
A new creation. Who brings about regeneration in us?
God himself brings about regeneration in us by his word and spirit unto the obedience of Christ.
By his word and spirit. Is it necessary then to be born again to be a true Christian?
Yes, for without regeneration, no one can see the kingdom of God.
Does regeneration produce a godly life?
Yes, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
Can we not, through our own strength, avoid sin and do good?
No, for Christ says, without me you can do nothing.
Yes, without Jesus we can do nothing. Is holy living possible only through Jesus, only through Christ and his grace?
Yes, for Christ is made of God unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Mm-hmm. Justification. What is justification?
When the repentant sinner through his faith is declared righteous in Christ.
Yes, through his faith. Is a sinner justified by his grace?
Yes, we are justified freely without any merit of our own by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Wherein does justification benefit us?
To have peace with God as his children, to have been freed from the bondage of sin, and to be aided in perfecting holiness.
To have peace with God. Sanctification. What is sanctification?
To be sanctified and is to be freed from the dominion of sin and to preserve it in well-doing.
It says to be freed from the dominion of sin, that we need not be a servant or a slave to sin, to be freed from that. That's what Christ came to do. Verse 16, must a Christian become holy?
Yes, for as he who called us is holy, so must we be holy in all manner of living.
Who produces sanctification in us?
We are sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God.
Mm-hmm. The Church of God, what is the collective body of believers called?
The Church of God.
How does Christ regard his church?
As his body, he is the head of the body, the church.
Are all who profess to belong to the Church of God true members of the body of Christ?
No, they only are true members who by faith in Christ have become the children of God.
Are there to be teachers and ministers in the church?
Yes, the teachers are to preach the word diligently and exhort, but the church is to be heard and obey.
Baptism. Did the Lord Jesus give a command concerning baptism?
Yes, he said to his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit."
Is baptism necessary?
Yes, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Who are to be baptized?
All who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are converted unto him.
What is the purpose of baptism?
It serves as a sign of putting on Christ and of being united with the church.
What does baptism teach us?
That we are buried with Christ by baptism unto death, that, like as the Savior was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life.
Mm-hmm. The baptism of the Holy Spirit happens at the very moment that we receive Jesus Christ in our hearts. Baptism with water is to confirm what has happened. So it's an outward indication of an inward transformation. We move on to page 65, the Lord's Supper. Who instituted the Lord's Supper?
The Lord Jesus himself in the night when he was betrayed.
With what did he institute it?
With bread and wine.
For what purpose was the Lord's Supper instituted?
To commemorate the suffering and death of Christ, to serve as a token of communion with Christ and of communion of believers with each other.
Is the Lord's Supper to be commemorated often?
Yes, according to the example of the first Christians.
And so it tells us in the book of Acts, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. The apostles' doctrine, what the apostles had taught them, the new believers. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in that teaching. Who is to commemorate it?
All baptized, repentant believers.
What is demanded of them?
True examination. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
Yes, true examination. Self-examination. What are we to show forth thereby?
We are thereby to show forth the Lord's death until he comes.
What did the Lord Jesus do to his disciples after the supper?
He washed their feet and said, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you.
Yes. He taught them what it meant to be a servant. He humbled himself and washed their feet. Chapter 4, the life and conduct of the believers. What should the believers conduct in their daily walk and life?
As the redeemed of the Lord, they should serve God in holiness and righteousness, which is acceptable to him, and let their good works shine before men.
Did the Lord Jesus give us a command?
Yes, he said, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you.
Shall we also love our enemies?
Yes, Christ says, Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of God which is in heaven.
Mm-hmm. So what it teaches us here is, if we're going to be true followers of Jesus Christ, we shouldn't be upset if someone abuses us. Or we might say if we get the short end of the stick. It says we should pray for them. We should love them, those that persecute us, despitefully use us. And it says so that we may be the children of our Father in heaven. Let's think about that just for a bit. Who are we representing? We represent Jesus Christ here on this earth. It is a hope that we can show the people that there is more to life than what we see. That our faith reaches beyond what our eyes can see. Non-resistance and suffering. What ought we to do when we are injured by anyone?
We are not to render evil for evil or railing for railing.
Should a true Christian suffer patiently?
Yes, for it's written, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps.
Mm-hmm. How does the Lord Jesus comfort his followers in suffering?
He says, Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, for great is your reward in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Government and oath. How shall we conduct ourselves toward the authorities?
Let every soul be subject unto higher power, for there is no power but of God. The power that is ordained of God.
Mm-hmm. What does our Savior say concerning the swearing of oath?
He says, "But I say unto you, swear not at all. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil."
Is this said of all oath?
Yes, for James says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath."
What did Christ say of idle words?
"But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment."
Mm-hmm. You may be seated. Here it teaches us that how we are to conduct ourselves, how we are to conduct ourselves to authority. And it says that all authority, all governments are ordained by God. And sometimes we try to understand that. God has put this in place. So a government is a government. But we need to separate that. Not all people representing government are godly people. And it is not for us to judge. But there is a government that God has ordained, and God wants it to operate that way. And he has his ways, and he has given us his ways. And we know that people make a choice. We see that in the Old Testament, that what happened, and God warned them. And he told Moses to go and tell the people what would happen. But the people chose that, to go that route. And so later they suffered for their choices that they had made. And it's no different in today's time that we live in. God's government is still in place, but not all follow God's direction. And so it is with all people that way. But we have choices to make in life. And the Bible is very clear with that. We can choose life and we can choose death. And you have chosen life. And I want to encourage you, keep moving forward, upward, heavenward. And you will receive the blessings that God has in store for you. Let us unite for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, when we consider what your word teaches us, we pray that you might help us understand how important it is for us to replace works with faith in Jesus and to rely on his grace instead of our own merit. Father, there is nothing that we can add to complement our justification other than to repent and turn from the error of our way. And acknowledge that a part of the finished work on the cross, we missed the mark. And understand that our good works can never make up for even one transgression that we have ever committed. Today, Father, we rejoice that regardless of our past, you meet us where we are. And it is because of your great love that you called us into this grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. And you have adopted us as your sons and daughters, as joint heirs of Christ. And it is through your beloved Son that we enjoy membership in the living body of Christ, with the gifts that empower us to walk in the light as you are in the light, displaying the fruits of the Spirit, that the ministry may be effective. You have given us a command to love as you have loved us. And Lord, we acknowledge this takes us to a new level, a deeper and more fulfilling walk with you and our fellow men. The love that was manifested through the giving of your Son has left us an example that we too must at times suffer for the sake of the kingdom and our faith in him. It is clear, Lord, that the world has no regard to the message of the gospel and reject its saving grace that is being offered to one and all. Yet what has become the norm in today's society is all about self. That earthly nature. Heavenly Father, we pray that if there is someone that finds himself or herself struggling in this area of their lives, that you might assist them to step out of the shadow of their past and experience freedom in Christ. Lord, you have called us to live a sacrificial life, and our desire is that it might come in the form of obedience to you. For with such you are well pleased. Father, in conclusion of this morning service, we surrender our hearts before you on a personal level, with an attitude of gratitude, cherishing the relationship we may have with you, the only wise God and Savior, to whom be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Today, being Mother's Day, just want to touch on that. Just a few moments here. It takes us into the book of Proverbs, and I think we can say that we all have mothers. Some of our mothers have gone to be with the Lord. Some are with us. And the Bible teaches us to, it is a good thing to give honors to godly mothers and grandmothers that have many times toiled behind the scene, laboring long, hard hours to care for her family, physically and spiritually. In Proverbs chapter 6, it says in verse 20, My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. The Bible says the law of the mother shall lead you and shall be a light, and you will remember what your mother taught you through your life. And I believe so it is. Many times we think about our mothers growing up, the things that they have taught us and left with us. And all of a sudden, as the older we get, we remember those acts of love and kindness, and they mean so much more to us. In Proverbs chapter 20, chapter 31, verse 25, it says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue in the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and praise her. It's the unselfish love of a mother and the concern for their well-being that causes her prayers to be answered by the Father in heaven. And I know some of us don't have our moms with us anymore, but I want to encourage us, those of you who do, regardless of the past, show them your love. Show them your respect. Bible teaches us we need to do that. Let us close with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, Father in heaven, in closing this morning, we come before you and we ask, Lord, your blessing upon the spoken word. Help us, Lord, to walk this journey of faith and be mindful that this we're not home, but we're heading there, where we will not need to face these difficult times that we are going through, whether it be loneliness, whether it be sickness, discouragement, despair. Father, all things will be wiped away. And it tells us in Scripture, no tears in the eyes. What a blessed hope we have. It is a lively hope. And Father, it is my prayer for each one that is tuned in this morning, live stream, Lord, that they may experience that hope, that courage to move forward and not give up in the face of difficulty, in the face of the circumstances that we face from day to day. Father, this morning we especially pray for Peter Dirksen, recovering from his accident had a couple of weeks ago. Lord, just pray for that family. Pray for Jacob Wings, who had surgery, and Lord, many others that are going through difficult times at this. Dennis Dirksen, also very sick, and pray for him and his wife Edna and their family. And Lord, you know all those who are going through those hard times. Father, we just bring them all before you. We thank you, Lord, for the mothers in our life, and pray, Lord, a special blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. This time I want to give each one the opportunity to go and bend a knee. Just come before Almighty God, and let's remember Ronnie and Heather, and we walk with them in our journey of faith. So kneel with me, please, in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to leave you with a benediction this morning. Out of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of grace, God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may go in peace with the Lord. God be with you till we meet again. Thank you. Jake?